Good morning, everyone. It is such a wonderful morning that we can come together to worship our Father together. For those of you who don't know me, let me just introduce a little bit, that I was the pastor of Grace Church for 7.5 years, a long time ago, from 1994 till 2002. And then I went to Jireh Church, OCM Jireh Church, for the next 18 years. And then I retired from there 4 years ago. And time flies. I've been retired for 4 years. And if you ask me, you know, Pastor Moy, are you busy? Are you not busy? Yes and no. I'm still busy, practically on Sundays, because I'm preaching practically every Sunday. And sometimes two sermons, and I think at one point maybe three sermons on a particular Sunday. So I'm preaching every Sunday. And before all those years, my 28 years as a pastor in the Chinese side, I always have another pastor who served alongside with me. So on average, throughout all those 28 years, so I might be preaching maybe two Sundays per month. And sometimes if we have a outside speaker, guest speaker, then I end up maybe preaching once a month. And now the last 4 years, I'm preaching every Sunday. And I ask, what's going on? But anyway, I enjoyed it, and I still treasure the opportunity to preach, because I know someday I would not be able to even come up to the pulpit and stand for 45 minutes, right? That day will come, I know. So even though I wanted to, I would not be able to. And then I noticed that some of the older pastors, and they, after they preach a sermon, and they forgot what they have been preached, right? And I'm still not that cuckoo yet. I'm still here, and I still remember the content of the sermons. And I'm marked down, you know, I come to Grace Church English service today. I preach shout for joy to the Lord. So you won't hear the same message in a long time. So still there. So I thank the Lord that I'm still be able to preach His word. And I do enjoy it. And I go around OCMA churches, and also other churches outside of OCMA. So thank God that I can still serving in this capacity, but not as a pastor. Then, of course, that is much easier, not that time consuming. However, I do have a grandchild live close by. He's 4 years old, Chester, and we help out caring for him maybe two afternoons per week. And then we have three dogs at home, so when we don't feel like walking them, and thank God that we have a fenced yard, so we just let them out, right? On a beautiful day like this, yes, we do bring them out and then also walk them. So that still keep me busy. And about the dogs, actually, there's a story I want to share with you. Long, long time ago, and I always ask my wife, you know, we always talk about after dinner we should go out and take a walk, you know, take a short walk. How come we're not doing that? For a long time, we ask the same question. And then all of a sudden, when we have dogs, we don't need to ask that question anymore. Eventually, you know, after we eat, we just go out and take a walk. So that was helpful. But then having three dogs at home, it's challenging. Actually, one passed away 6 months ago, so we used to have four dogs. And then some people mentioned to us that, well, are you going to have another one? I told them, don't speak so loud in front of my wife, because if it's up to her, she would get another one, four or five or six or seven, and guess who takes care of them? So you're looking at him. But anyway, so we have three dogs, and so we thank God that my life is still busy and not so busy. So that is good. So November is here. Thanksgiving is approaching. So I want to share with you about a Thanksgiving sermon, Shout for Joy to the Lord. And we look at Psalm 100 today, and it's from Psalm 93 to Psalm 100. These psalms are called enthronement psalms, which celebrate the Lord as our King on the earth. And Psalm 100 is the end of these 8 psalms, calling those people who belong to him come together at the Holy Temple to worship him and to serve him. To come before him with gladness, we should always come together as a body of Christ to celebrate and to worship. Then we may ask this question: how come we have to come to church on Sunday? Why do we have to get together to worship God? Why can't we stay at home and turn on the TV and watch a worship service program, right? Some people ask that question, right? We have done that in those COVID times, right? Zoom worship service. Why do we have to get dressed? Why do we have to get ready? Why do we have to travel far to the church? Why can't we just stay home and watch a worship service program? Easier, and we don't even have to offer offerings. And why can't we just stay home, right? But then the Bible tells us that for us to get together, to know God together, to learn about him together, to worship him together. And granted, talking about Zoom meetings, there's some good out of the COVID, the Zoom meeting. That is, I know for a fact that, like, for example, on Wednesday night, on Friday night, on the weeknights, when people get together for a prayer meeting or for a Bible study, actually, it's hard for people to work the whole day and then rush back home and then rush cooking, rush eating, and then rush go to church for a prayer meeting, right? For a Bible study on a Wednesday night or on a Friday night, right? I know it became difficult sometimes. And I know some people actually, they came to church, but then they realize that they are late and then they return home. And for us be able to stay home and just Zoom meeting for the prayer meeting, for the Bible study, that's so convenient. Right? So there were good things. And I actually know that some churches, their prayer meeting, their Bible study, actually the attendance actually grew because they can invite friends, they can invite family members to join, just stay home and to join. So I know some churches, they actually doing very well with their weeknight meetings and prayer meetings and Bible study. But then on Sunday, I would still encourage all of us still trying to come as much as possible that we can worship God. Another story that I want to illustrate is that, you know, if a fireplace and it's burning hot, it's burning, all those woods in there, they're burning. But when you take out one piece of wood and put it outside of the fireplace, eventually the fireplace still continue burning. The one wood that is outside the fireplace, eventually, quickly, the fire would extinguish. So actually for us to get together, that we can feel the warmth, we can feel the happiness together, that we should get together and to worship God. So on Sunday morning, I still encourage each one of you. You're here already. I should be speaking to those who are not here, right? But we come and we worship him. So after God created the heavens and earth, in Genesis chapter 2, what did he do? He rested on the seventh day, on Sabbath day. Or we call it the Lord's Day today. Two things we should know about the Sabbath day: rest and worship. It's all about rest and worship. The longest commandment in the Ten Commandments is about the Sabbath day. In Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 to 17, and it tells us about the Ten Commandments. The first 4 commandments is about us toward God, about our relationship with God. The last 6 commandments is about how we treat each other, how we interact with others, believers. So the whole Ten Commandments, it's what's recorded in Exodus chapter 20 from verses 1 to 17. And all of them, almost all of them, it's just one verse about one commandment. But then, except the fourth commandment, the Sabbath day commandment, God talks about it uses four verses to talk about that commandment. It's quite long and tells us how we should rest, how we should worship God. So during the early days of the revolution of this country, the father of America, George Washington, he urged his troops to attend public services on the Lord's Day and made sure to be well rested. So first of all, let us talk about Sabbath day, rest. The Bible tells us 6 days you should labor and do all of your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. So when is the Sabbath day? When is the Sabbath day? When is the Sabbath day? When does it start? Friday evening, sunset, till Saturday evening, sunset, right? And as we see that the Jewish people in our neighborhood, right, they go to the synagogue on Friday evening, and then sometimes they go to the synagogue on Sabbath day. They do go to the synagogue on a Sabbath day. So Friday evening sunset to Saturday evening sunset. So that means the whole 24 hours we should rest. And it's the entire 24 hours. So it tells us that we need to have enough rest, a plenty of rest. So some people say that, well, I need 6 hours and that's good enough. Some people say, well, I need 7 hours. Some people say, well, I need actually 8 hours. So let us do a survey. For those of you who think you need 6 hours, for those of, okay, one or two, for those of you who think you need 7 hours of sleep, 7 hours sleep, for those of you who think you need 8 hours, 24 hours. I would say according to each person's needs, right? Some of us, as long as we sleep 6 hours, 7 hours, sound sleep, right? That's good enough. Some of us think that, well, we need 8 hours. Some of us, we think we need 7 hours, or I need 9 hours. So I would say as according to each person's needs. So as long as we have sound sleep, I think that's good enough, right? For me, 6.5. I go to bed late, but once the sun is up, I need to wake up. I just cannot sleep anymore. And for the last 20 years, I have not had a afternoon nap. I just can't do it. So I know when certain time I need to sleep, but I do have sound sleep, very much sound sleep. And a lot of time my wife said to me, you know, Jerry, I just can't believe you. You're just sitting there watching the TV 5 seconds ago and you are snoring 5 seconds later. And I sleep easily and I can sleep everywhere and I can go into sound sleep right away. And, for her, however, it's much more difficult. And then sometimes she would end up counting sheep, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right? And then she forgot which one she counted. Then she start over again. And then, so for some people, it's difficult to get into sleep. But for some people, it's easier. So for those of you who have difficulty of sleeping, I'm going to give you some advice, some suggestions. Don't go to bed right after you watch a horror movie. Don't think that you could go to bed when your house is bright, the light is so bright, and all of a sudden you say, I'm going to sleep, and then you shut all the lights, and then you will be able to sleep. So dim your light about 15, 20 minutes before you go to sleep. Make the mood so that quiet, shut down all the music. So create a mood that you get ready, go to sleep. So hopefully from now on you will have sound sleep, so as according to each person's need. So observing the Sabbath day, it is about more than just taking time off. After created the world, God looked around and he said, oh, that was great. That was so great. He used 6 days, he utilized 6 days to create the world. And then he said, wow, this is wonderful. That was great. And then the Bible tells us that then he rested on the Sabbath day. However, God did not just cease from his labor. He stopped and enjoyed what he had made. What does that mean for us? We need to stop to enjoy God, to enjoy his creation, and to enjoy the fruits of our labor. Today, however, the Jewish people, I don't know if you notice, for most of the Jewish people, they take this rest to another level, that's how they interpret the Bible. So since the Bible says do not work on the Sabbath day, so what did they do? They, when they go to the synagogue, they don't drive, right? You normally don't see, Jewish people drive to the synagogue, right? And the synagogue, they don't have much parking space. The reason is they walk there. If they drive, that would be work, right? Have you noticed? So they walk to the synagogue. And also another example is they don't cook on Sabbath day. They get all their food ready for Sabbath day on Friday, on the day of preparation. So they don't cook on Sabbath day. And another example. I used to live in Brooklyn, Avenue U area, close to the Ships of Bay area. And I lived there for 14 years, when I first came to the U.S. So those 14 years, I lived on a second floor, apartment. And then downstairs, two stores over, there was a synagogue. And one Friday morning, I got ready to go to the main church for the prayer meeting, and then I passed by this synagogue. A rabbi came out and asked me to go in to help him. Now I knew what it is because that was already Friday night. It was around sunset area. The Sabbath day already begun, and he asked me to go in to help him, and I knew what it is. And he asked him to go in to turn on the lights. Because turning on the light is work. Now, I'm Chinese American, and I look like a Gentiles. I don't look like a Jewish people per person. So he asked me, well, that's okay. Ask the Gentiles to do it. So for them, it's work. So they take the do not work to another level. So I don't know if that's good or bad, but I think we definitely can learn from the Bible that for us to be rested and fully rested for a length of time, for 24 hours. And I know as a pastor on Sunday, right? Some members of the congregations, they come to church because they need to show their face, right? But then they already, in a hot summer day, they already have their swimming trunk ready. They already have everything else ready to go to the beach, right? So after the service, then they go to the beach, right? To enjoy. So I hope they go there to rest, right? Because that's what the Bible tells us. So we should rest. Sometimes, unfortunately, as Christians, on Sunday we are busier than other days, right? I know for sure that we arrange a lot of meeting, right? Fellowship meeting, missions committee meeting, and this meeting and that meeting on Sunday afternoon, right? So on Sunday morning, we come to church, we attend Sunday worship service, we attend a Sunday school, and then after lunch, and then we have so many meetings. And then we leave the church at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, and then go home and feel tired. So that is not a way to be rested, right? So I just want to, alert us as leaders that don't plan all those meetings on Sunday so that we can be rested. So the Sabbath day, the Sabbath is about more than the rest of the body. It is about the inner rest of our soul. Sabbath is the key to getting this balance. And Jesus identifies himself as the Lord of Sabbath, the Lord of rest. Jesus urges us, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. So one of the great blessings of the gospel is that he can give us rest that no one else can. So about the Sabbath, that is to rest. And second of all, is about to worship God. Sabbath is about going to the temple to worship God. King David, he expressed his desire to worship God in the house of the Lord. Psalm 27. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. When we come to worship God, not only is it our responsibility, it is also our opportunity to get together for our spiritual growth and the best witness we could have to non-believers. That is, we observe the Sabbath day, the Lord's day, that we come and worship our God. Psalm 100 is a psalm to praise God as our King. This is the only psalm that entitled for giving thanks. So when we worship him as our King, we come with thanksgiving. Psalm 50, 23, God said, "He who sacrifices thank offerings honors me." Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for that this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." So therefore, we cannot worship God without thanksgiving. So do not forget to give thanks to God every day. Be thankful and be glad every day. A story goes like this. It describes one morning, 6 o'clock, no sun, no light. 7 o'clock comes, no sun, no light. Noontime, 12 o'clock, dark as midnight. Birds don't sing anymore. Very quiet throughout the earth. Evening comes. Nobody was able to sleep. People cry. Many fear. Don't know what to expect. Many go to church and pray. After another long night, morning comes again. Everybody looks to the east to see if the sun comes up today. Finally, there was color, yellow and red. The sun comes up one more time. Everybody rejoices. After a whole day, 24 hours of darkness, the sun comes up again. There was sun and there was light. Brothers and sisters, every day is a new day. Every day when there is sun, when there is light, we praise God for that. We give thanks. We give thanks to the Lord. Praise the Lord for his new blessings every day. Praise the Lord in all circumstances. We come to church, we praise the Lord for his provisions. In good times, we give thanks. And bad times, we give thanks. In all circumstances. There was this pastor in Scotland. He always gave thanks in his pastoral prayer each Sunday. But one Sunday morning, very bad weather. Winds knocked down trees, blocking major roads, heavy rains. People of the congregation just cannot come to the church that day because most of the roads are blocked. Only a few faithful ones who live nearby who can come, who can walk to church, and they came that day. Only a few. For those who came and for those who attended, they were wondering, what is the pastor going to give thanks today? And once the pastor got up to the pulpit and started praying, he said, "Our dear Lord, we thank you because bad weather is not going to last forever." And brothers and sisters, we can always give thanks in all circumstances. Of course, in good times, we can give thanks. Smooth sailing, we give thanks. When we are promoted in our job, we give thanks. Of course, when we are being laid off, when we are facing difficulties, yes, it's difficult for us to give thanks. But in those times, we still give thanks that it won't last forever. So in all circumstances, we give thanks to the Lord. So remember, in our prayers, we start with Dear Heavenly Father. We start with Dear Lord. And then we pray for our needs. The Bible tells us that we should lay our burdens to God. We pray for our needs. And then we share our thoughts and then give thanks in all circumstances. So remember in our prayers, don't forget to give thanks. And then pray for the church. Pray for your pastor. Pray for brothers and sisters. Pray for those who are in need. And then pray for the world. Now that the election is over, we pray for unity of the two parties. We pray for the government leaders, look up to God for God's guidance. And we pray for world peace. And then we end with, in Jesus' name we pray, amen. So in our prayer, don't forget to give thanks. It's okay for us to come to God and ask for our needs, to ask for provision. But don't forget to give thanks to God and give thanks in all circumstances. Last year at this time, it was such a difficult month for me. In the month of October, last year, October 24th, God took my mom back to heaven, and she lived here on earth for 95 years, and she lived with me for most of her life. And it was difficult, but I still give thanks to God that even though God had taken her to be with her, to be with him, but I thank God that my mom lived a long life, 95 years here on earth. And for 95 years, and she lived with me, and we enjoy our company together. And I thank God for such a longevity for my mom, 95 years. Moses said, we live here on earth for 70 years, 80 if we are strong. And she must have been very strong, 95 years. And I thank the Lord for that. And also God answered her prayer that she often mentioned to me that she doesn't want to go to the nursing home and then go back to heaven. And she prayed about that. And then I was praying about that too, that she would stay till the very last day and then just go directly to heaven. And she answered her prayer and answered my prayer. So last year, during the summertime, in about like July and August, and she started to complain, and another complaint, she started to tell me that sometimes she would feel very weak. And then when we go out to walk the dogs and we drive to a park, and then she would tell me, don't lock the door, just in case I feel weak, back in and I sit down. So at that time, I know something is not right, and I know that the time is getting closer, and I pray to God that God give her strength, because I know if she cannot take care of herself, then I just need to discuss with my brother, with my older brother, with my older sister, that we may have to send her to the nursing home, but which we don't want, which she doesn't wish to go. So I pray God give her strength. And then October 15th, after I got home, then I realized that she had a stroke. And then on October 24th, then God taking her to be with him. So I thank God for her. And even though it is sad to see her go, but I still give thanks for her in my life. And believe it or not, the last month, I realized that she had prepared 3 big buckets of rice for me. Now, I'm a rice eater. I love rice. And every day I need to have some kind of rice in my system. And she had prepared 3 big buckets for me, afraid that I don't know how to buy rice. And so I really experienced her motherly love for me. So over here, I just want to share with you that if you still have your parents alive here on earth, honor them, take care of them. If they are close by, try to visit as much as possible. If they are not close by, nowadays with the phone, with the text messages, with FaceTime, we can always meet up with them through all those schedules. And just one thing that in the event that you're not so close with your parents, it's okay. It's in the past already. So amen to to build new relationship with them. So I miss my mom, but I just want to share with you that I still give thanks for the Lord that she stayed with me all these years and such a wonderful mom. And after her passing, I try to cook some meals for myself. I try to cook some of the food that she used to cook for me. Then I realized that it is not that easy cooking some of the food. And sometimes I need to spend time to prepare them, to cook them. And then I realized, and finally I gave up actually, some of the food I just go buy. And so maybe some simple vegetables, steamed fish, something that simple than I can manage. But some of the stuff that I need to spend an hour, 2 hours to prepare them, I gave up. I just go buy. And when all these years, when I am ready to go home, and all I need to do is just call her and said, "Mom, I'll be home in 1 hour," and then I don't even have to say that I'm hungry. She knows I'm hungry. And then I got home, and then she would have three wonderful dishes for me. And nowadays I only prepare one dish per meal, and I honestly don't know how she did it. Every time when I sit down, she would have three different kind of choices for me to eat. So I do give thanks for the Lord for my mom, and I just want to share with you that let us continue to honor our parents. In the event that they are no longer with us here on earth, remember them, their loving kindness for you and how they brought you up. So remember them. So there are two parts in this Psalm 100. First part, verses 1 to 3. Second part, verses 4 and 5. Both part tells us what we have to do and then the reason of doing so. Three things in the first part for us to do. Shout for joy to the Lord. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Shout for joy. Worship him. Come with the joyful songs. Three reasons for doing so. Because the Lord is good. He is the one who made us. We are his people and his sheep. So three reasons. Lord is good. Who made us, and we are his people and we are his sheep. Three things in the second part for us to do. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Praise his name. Enter his gates and his courts. Give thanks and praise his name. Three reasons for us to do so. For the Lord is good. His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Lord is good. His love is forever. His faithfulness continues. So Psalm 100 is a psalm full of joy and praise. Shout for joy, gladness, joyful songs, praise, give thanks, praise God. How can the writer of this psalm have so much joy and happiness? Because he is willingly to worship God. He is willingly to serve the Lord. After the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, the heavenly host and the angels appeared, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." We see that when there is glory to God, then there must be peace and joy here on earth. Paul says this to the Thessalonians, "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." From 1980 to 1992, I was working for a major commercial bank in New York City. So yes, that's right. Before I became a full-time minister, I was a banker for 12 years. And then I've become a full-time minister for 20-some odd years before I retired. So for 12 years, I was a banker. And throughout all those years, I was normally driving to work every single day. And then I would park in this, parking lot. And then later on, then I realized that the parking lot attendants, they gave me a name. They gave me a nickname. And they don't know my first name. They don't know my last name. but they gave me a nickname. And guess what that is? Smiley. Because I was always happy. I was always smiling. For some people, Monday morning, they feel sad. They don't want to go to work. Friday afternoon, they come pick up the car smiling. And they wonder, how come this guy, this person, Monday morning, Tuesday afternoon, Friday afternoon, it doesn't matter, he always smiles. So they gave me the nickname Smiley. Later on I find out, because when I came pick up the car, and then they say, Smiley is here, get his car. So I thank God for that, because how people remember me as Smiley, Smiley, because I have joy in my heart all the time, because I have received that salvation, and my sin has been forgiven, and I have joy and peace in my heart. The writer of this psalm reminds us to be joyful in worship. So if right now, if for whatever reason, you don't feel this joy in your heart, you feel burdened, you feel sad, it's okay if circumstances dictate us to feel sad. It's okay. But right now, for whatever reason, you don't feel that joy, that joyful heart. And I would like to urge you, re-examine yourself and to find out why. Why is that this morning I'm sitting here but without joy? Lastly, the writer of this psalm really sees the salvation for the Lord, for the world. Since the one we worship is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he is also the King of the earth and the Lord of everyone. Verse 1, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. The very last verse, his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. There are two groups of people here in this world. One group, those belong to him, those God's people, chosen people. Another group is the Gentiles. Verses 2 and 3, speaking to the people of Israelites, because in verse 3, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Verses 4 and 5, speaking to the Gentiles, because it mentions entering his gates and his courts. When we understand the layout of the temple, then we will understand what it means to enter his gates and courts. When people come to the temple, there is this outer court for the Gentiles. Then into the court of the woman of Israel, the many offering boxes there. Then into the court of the men of Israel, where the sacrificial offering takes place. So for the Gentiles, the first step is for us to enter the gates, enter the courts, to know God and to believe in him. 1 John 2:2. Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. 2 Peter 3:9. God not wanted anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Salvation is for everyone, and God's reign is forever. So as we worship our Lord as our King, and let's realize that he is the King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords, and he will reign forever. He will reign all of the whole world. I would like to read 1 Chronicles 16:31 to close. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, as Thanksgiving is quickly approaching this year, and Father, let us be prayerful and be prayerful to you. And Father, not only do we come to praise you and to give thanks during Thanksgiving, but we do exercise Thanksgiving every single of our life. That every single day that you are giving us is a brand new day with new blessings. And Father, we, in all circumstances, hopefully we learn how to give thanks to you. In good times, of course, we give thanks. But in bad times, we give thanks. Smooth sailing, we give thanks. But in hardship, we we still give thanks. And Father, we pray that in all circumstances, we will be able to give thanks. And help us to, when we are praying to you, don't forget to give our thanksgiving to you, acknowledging that you are the awesome God, that you are always there for us. So no matter where we go, no matter what we experience, you are always there for us. As long as we look up to you and gaze our eyes on you, and you are there for us. Father, we thank you. And we thank you for the salvation that Jesus Christ has accomplished on the cross for us. And we thank you for your love for us, which is unconditional. And Father, we praise you and we worship you. And Father, we pray for our relatives and family members and friends and neighbors, colleagues, that they still may not knowing you. And Father, we pray that through our thanksgiving, through our joyful hearts, that they would also experience your presence in their lives. And pray that in this thanksgiving, everything that we say, everything that we do, we will praise you and we will give thanks to you. And Father, thank you for Psalm 100, that may all the earth shout joy to you. Father, thank you. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.